Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the For Him podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking about stepping away from sin, and I know that's not always the most exciting thing to talk about, but I do have some exciting news in that for the first time, I have someone to talk about this with me, so I'll go ahead and let her introduce herself.
Woohoo! So, my name's Avery. I'm 21. I'm also a college student. I'm in my senior year finishing up, and I'm excited to be on Kelsey's podcast to talk about struggling with sin and how to lean on Jesus through it all. And I'm really excited for today's episode.
Yeah, so I just wanted to start out by introducing ourselves and emphasizing the fact that we are both college students who are trying to prioritize our walk with God. And the key word in that is trying, as it's all about getting back up when you fall, and you
Amen.
will, to
Amen.
continue stepping away from sin and towards God. So first things first, we are going to start out by talking about what stepping away from sin looks like. And I think that this is breaking habits, it's changing our desires and avoiding situations. It's ultimately just choosing to say no to what doesn't please God.
Amen. Yeah, totally. I see it as like when you acknowledge like you have sin, because you have to open your eyes to like you are the problem. And once you realize that and accept that Jesus is your salvation and the only way out of it, it can be hard to see what you need to do to really change your ways to highlight Jesus's ways. And because you can always stop bad habits, but you can't completely wash yourself. Like, who's going to wash your back? Jesus is your guy, you know? So it takes a deeper understanding to realize that and see it as more or less like you're not stopping bad things. Of course you are, but you're taking one step closer to Jesus, which is one step away from sin. So it's a constant effort of trying to decide how would Christ reflect in this situation? Like, what am I going to do to be more like him and less like myself? And one of the points that Kelsey brought up, it takes a lot of surrounding yourself with not only things and people, but ideas that remind you and show you of his greatness.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think the first step in all of that is just realizing that you are a sinner, and because of that, realizing that you do need a savior.
It's our flesh. It starts at the beginning.
Yep. For me personally, when it comes to stepping away from sin, there's been various aspects of my life in which I've done this. I think me, BC, or before Christ, was a very different Kelsey. I definitely fell into things that I shouldn't have, like drunkenness or just being involved in gossip or cussing and not watching my mouth. Also, just being surrounded by temptation or giving into lust and listening to secular music, the list goes on. Basically, just all things college, which I'm sure Avery can relate to as well.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Avery can. But Avery doesn't anymore, but Avery did. And anyhow. So I struggled with all of those things to a T and then some. But it's been a slow process on, I'm sorry if I totally just boomed into the mic, but it's been a slow process of just trusting Jesus and realizing nobody has the same timeline and struggles, and you can't win the race to who gets saved the most. So it's nothing like that. But me personally, I replaced my ways of living, like the ones Kelsey kind of listed off there, with serving others. My thing was I acknowledged my flesh and my sin, and I was just like, how do I fix this? What am I going to do to better myself? And I just had way too much free time on my hand. So I figured, you know what, I'm going to get a job. I could use the money anyways, whatever. And I had a lot of bills at the time, but now I don't. But anyways, so I go get this job, and in my head, it was just some regular 9 to 5, you know, just going to get work done and leave. But no, it ended up being one of the most fruitful things in my life that Jesus has done. It really created a different mindset of how I live my life. I no longer live it just for me and my day-to-day needs and wants, but I s can see through a servant mindset now that God's given me, not only to serve his people in whatever form it was, because every kingdom has positions that need to be filled, but to serving Jesus himself. And I could feel it every day at that job. Other people might not feel that at work, but I mean, I was blessed enough to. And this really helped me reevaluate the priorities that society told me I had to care about to mean something to society, such as lust and constant entertainment for myself and needing to be frequently inebriated to feel something and to have higher prioritization for my friends over my family. And it was just a lot of things that made me feel so overwhelmed with myself. And Jesus let me out of it. He showed me a way. And the number one thing that helped me was not only a job, but church, going to church daily. And it really helped me be honest with God about not only where I was, but who I was and what I was doing and how much I just was overwhelmed by it and all the problems I had created for myself. And so just, if you didn't get anything from that little spiel just now, just honesty with God and putting yourself in front of him is just the number one thing you can do, and he will show you a solution out of it.
Yeah, that's really good. I think that that's something that anyone can relate to, whether you're also a college student or you're 40 years old or you're 12 years old or you're just beginning your walk with God or you've been walking with God for years. I think that something that we all have in common is that we are sinners and that we fall short of that, but that we can step away from that and that God helps us in doing so. So today, whenever I was reading my Bible, I'm reading in Luke right now, and I found some scripture to testify to the fact that We are all sinners, but we must step away from our sin in order to better ourselves and please the Lord. So I'm going to read Luke 9:23-25 that says, "If any of you want to be my follower, you must turn away from your selfish ways," or sin, "take up your cross daily," by putting him first, "and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake," or stepping away from sin, "you will save it. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed?" And I think that this speaks to both outcomes of what sin and what stepping away from sin do to us and look like in our lives. I think that serving him requires a sacrifice, but that sacrifice is so, so worth it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Very much so. I do agree with all that. I mean, because what it boils down to, sin is, we're in a battle against it, and it can be downplayed, but we all do it, just a casual thing, a part of everybody's day. But I mean, it's written in the Bible, I don't know how many times, we are soldiers in a battle. Galatians 5:17, "For our flesh lusts against the spirit," the one that's quite literally inside of us, sent from the God up above. So the flesh does not like Jesus, cannot coincide with him. And the spirit is against the flesh. So the flesh can't guide you, or the spirit, sorry, can't guide you if you're ruled by your flesh. And what flesh is boiled down to is our bodies, which are made up of skin and bones, and they do not go to heaven. So our blood is naturally accustomed to sin, which came from Adam and Eve. So our body could care less, our flesh, sin, if we go to heaven or not. That's why we need to be covered with the blood of Christ, the pure blood. So I always try to remember that whenever it becomes kind of overlooked and just brushed under the rug of, eh, we all do it, no big deal, especially in college. That's when it becomes a real big one, because you're never alone in the struggle. But you are going to be alone in the struggle if you're the only one who is around you who even sees it as a struggle. If everybody around you is jumping off the bridge too, they're not going to point out. Yeah, they're not going to stop you from doing it too.
Yeah.
So
sin definitely is everywhere, and also in that it comes in all forms. Mm-hmm. And what we struggle with differs for everybody, but I do think that the common factor in all of our struggle with sin is that it distances us from God, and that it negatively impacts ourself or others. And in this, it's just too easy to lose sight of what truly matters, which sometimes might even be yourself when you're surrounded by sin.
Yeah, I got a good verse for that. Whenever I was deep into just really acknowledging I was struggling with sin, from Romans 7:19-20, this was me to a T, and I'm sure a lot of you relate. It says, "I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. But if I want to do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one who is doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it." And this really helped me realize it truly is a battle. You have to be a part of choosing to do what reflects Christ. You can't just say, "Jesus, all right, fix me," and expect him to polish you up like a mirror and reflect him. He's not going to do that if you're broken glass. You can't polish, and you have to have whole glass. I don't know where I was going with that, but you know what I mean. But Romans in general just kind of shows how Jesus is our way out of this, and some other scripture to back that up. John 14:6, "The way, the truth, and the life is Jesus." John 8:24, "He already died for our sins, so we can take that gift, or you can die for your sins too, but it's not the same outcome." That's kind of a scary thing to think about, but I mean, if you want to do it, you're totally allowed to. You can go to hell if you want, but God, that sounds that is so grim to be talking like that, but he laid it out. He says, "Here's your present. You can open it and live with it and spread the joy that it gives you, or you do you."
Yeah, it's a gift given to us. We have the full choice of whether or not we are willing to accept that, but we also in that have the full choice of choosing our outcomes and our consequences because of that.
But so skipping from all the kind of grim talk that I was doing there, sorry to depress anybody, but let's remember the good stuff that I mean, Jesus has done to help us escape this sin. In the Gospels, there were 23 different people who were healed individually by Jesus. And each of their stories, I mean, they're all unique, but they kind of boil down to the person or somebody who's close to them realizing that they need a greater, stronger help that nobody was capable of, except for the man they've heard about. And so they would go ask Jesus and use his name for help. And then he would deliver a miracle or heal or save or whatever he did in their specific story. And it turned into them praising him and serving and spreading his good news. So that's kind of like the 4-step plan to Jesus's, at least, just acknowledging you need him, asking him, praising him, serving and spreading his news.
Yeah, I think in all of this, being able to place your identity in God rather than the things of this world are so, so important, and help us really to stay focused on what matters. And because of that, step away from sin and the things that seem to matter, but they don't really matter. Mm-hmm.
No, like I just remember getting so wrapped up into the small, they weren't small at the time, but just the details of my life, like what's going on this weekend, who's doing what, I mean, where's everybody at, what should I wear, what should I get, what color nails should I do, What alcohol should I get? Where we go? Like, all of that stuff consumed me so much. My soul literally was shriveled up to the point where I couldn't even care about anything if I wanted to. It was just like anything on a deeper level, like another person, a god, anything. Or god, not a god. Excuse me. And so, I mean, it's tough when deep into it and having to acknowledge, man, this is harder than it should be. And it's really not fruitful living that way at all. I mean, did you?
No, whatsoever. I think that it's just one of those things. And I spoke about this a little bit in my episode where I kind of touched on my testimony, but it's something where I felt content with what I was doing and how I was living and how I was feeling. But when I realized that there was so much greater out there, when you place your identity in God rather than the things that surround us, mm-hmm. In our everyday life that don't matter near as much, you begin to realize that those things that you thought made you so content mm-hmm. are really so far from that. Yeah. And that there's so much of a better feeling that comes with just following God instead mm-hmm. of chasing after the things of this world.
Yeah, for sure. You could have asked me 2 years ago, are you having a good time? Yeah, but are you like happy? I mean, define happy, you know, it's like, I can be happy on the weekends for sure.
Yeah.
But like in my actual like presence every day, like, am I grateful for every little tiny gift God's given me? Probably not.
Yeah. You know? And that's the whole thing about being happy is that it's a state. It's not
yeah.
something that is eternal or long lasting. It's very based upon the circumstance, mm-hmm. but with God, you get this sense of joy that's just underlying exactly. and always there.
It's a foundation.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. What's happening in your world or externally, you're just always mm-hmm. able to lean back on God. And mm-hmm. it's such a good feeling.
Wonderful.
I actually saw something the other day online, a little quote that kind of put things into perspective. And I wanted to share that regarding when sin feels too strong. And it said that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Mm. And then I wanted to also build onto this by giving some scripture to kind of fall back onto when we are in the midst of struggling with sin. And that is 1 Corinthians 10:13 that says, God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you are tempted, he will provide a way out so you can endure. And this way is him. He heals the broken, he heals the lost, the empty, the confused, the destroyed. You're never too much for God's healing. And I think that this is just so important to fixate your eyes on him, because it's impossible to actively chase sin while also actively chasing God. It just wouldn't make sense.
Yep.
And in this, you really have to choose to actively chase God. It's not something that comes naturally. Mm-hmm. The fight with our flesh is just so real. And if we don't chase God, we are going to be on the flesh's side in that fight and giving into that so much easier. But something that kind of helps me in this and brings some positivity to it is that when we are fighting our flesh, at least this means that God is working in us mm-hmm. as we're choosing to fight against our flesh. We want to resist this temptation. We're choosing to doubt whether or not we want to give into that sin. And this can definitely be something that I can speak to in mm-hmm. my personal life and my struggle with sin and my walk with God. I think that, for one thing, like I mentioned earlier, cussing was a big thing for me that mattered so little, and I just didn't understand the weight behind my words. And it was something that was harder for me to give up in the beginning. I felt like it wasn't as big of a deal. I felt like this sin didn't matter as much as other sins, mm-hmm. but in God's eyes, all sins are equal. So that's a faulty logic on my part. I also struggle with this because I just felt like if I'm not cussing, I won't be as funny, which is such a bad way to look at it.
But at the same time, I mean, like, it's a real thought.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely makes sense.
Stupid.
And when I thought about this later on, I was like,
hit as hard.
Well, exactly. But no one's going to be laughing on Judgment Day when that's my reason for why I want to give up sinning or cussing, sinning, mm-hmm. all the above. And so I just really had to train my brain to let go of this and kind of either use filler words or replacements and pray for that my desires would be changed and that I would watch my mouth more cautiously and that I would be a better reflection of who God is and what following him looks like just by the way that I speak. And over time, this is just something that became more natural. I think it also is so dependent upon who you surround yourself mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. And as much as nobody wants to admit this, it's something that is so true in that who we hang out with is who we become to an extent. Obviously, everyone 100%. Has their level of self-control and their own identity, but it's such a big influence. Mm-hmm. And so being around people who are cussing all the time, I just catch myself being more opt to also engage in that. Whereas I'm around some of my friends that I met these friends from church and they have never heard me say a cuss word in my life. It makes such a big difference, even if we don't want to admit it. For example, like whenever we're around kids, we just naturally watch our mouth. And I think that that's something that everybody can relate to. And it just shows how much who we're around affects how we act or what we say. And then another one that I wanted to touch on, another sin that...
Can I say something real quick before you go to the next one? A thought that I had, people all the time like to say, well, Jesus sat with sinners. Well, yeah, he did, but he sat with them momentarily. helped them through what they were going to, and then continued on to the next center. He didn't sit there and try to create a project out of them. They needed help from him, and he gave it to them. He didn't, encourage and indulge in what they were. So there's a key difference, and I just wanted to point that out. Like, by the way, when people say that, it's not 100% like scripture backed up and 100% fact. So FYI, people still you need to watch out for.
Very, very true.
Anyways.
No, that's a good point. I love reverting back to scripture. It just speaks to the fact that we can take so much from it, even though it was written so long ago.
His
it's still
alive.
Yeah, it's so relevant even today, however many years later. It's just something that everyone kind of experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other sin that I was going to talk about that I personally struggled with and kind of got through was just feelings of lust. And mm-hmm. I don't even need to explain why this is something that's hard to give up. I think everyone knows that we as humans just naturally crave affection and attention. And a lot of the times that can be misconstrued, and we can think that there's good intention behind it when a lot of the times there's not. So in this, I just decided to set boundaries for myself and vocalize those boundaries. I think that doing so really just helped me keep myself accountable. There's no going back when you tell someone you're not going to do something, because I don't know about y'all, but I'm not the type of person to go against my word. So when I speak that aloud,
Have a backbone.
It just helps me to hold myself accountable and even have others help me be held accountable as well. I think that these good habits just over time kind of were able to change my desires.
Yeah. And those are two that I had a big struggle with as well. But, but I would say they kind of rooted from a bigger struggle I had with, and it's not necessarily point blank written as a sin, but there are stories where it is, and it's caused great havoc to those who hold on to stuff. But anyways, my biggest sin, just struggle, and has been holding on and longing for the past and just like wanting to feel the way I felt then, even though it was wrapped up in all this sinful activity. But, I'll find myself missing old characters, old ways of living, old mindsets, old memories, old people, and just start almost feeling bad for myself. But then within the past, ever since meeting Jesus and getting on a real level with him, that's not been nearly as strong, because I'm like, wow, how could I idolize past chapters of my life and expect new ones to be written? Like, how am I going to sit here and still be crying over chapter 2 when I'm in chapter 7 and like totally abusing all the grace God's given me over it? And a helpful story for me has been the story of Lot's wife, it was Lot's wife, who they were walking out of, I want to say Egypt, but I don't even know if that's right. But they're leaving a town, and she's like, no, I don't want to go, and turns around, and God was like, do not turn back, keep going, I have eyes on the prize, keep on trekking. She turns and looks back and gets turned into a pillar of salt, and is stuck there forever, for eternity, stuck in the way she wanted to live. So that's really helped me, and like she just said, reverting back to the Bible, because quite literally, 9 times out of 10, it's not a unique experience. Somebody's been through it before on earth, and then somebody's probably written about it in the Bible, because we're all not that unique. God knows us like the back of his hands. We're pretty predictable, as you can tell through all the Old Testament, how many times we've turned to him for help, got our help, and then totally forgot about him. So I had to stop living like that, forgetting God and forgetting the graces he did, and it really helped progress my future and keep my eyes on just what's ahead of me and not behind. So that was a big one for me personally. But I don't know who else might be feeling that way, but keep your eyes up, head up. Can't go back. Hate to say it, but you can't.
Yeah, I think that there's times that we all kind of dwell on things of the past and look back and wish that we could relive those moments or relive having those friendships or whatever, but there's very good reason as to why we're not doing so. Yeah, I mean,
God put it into like stuff for a reason.
Exactly. And I think that in terms of missing those things and wanting to maybe indulge in those things again, something that kind of helped me in reverting away from this is I read in one of the books that I was reading that it's easier to do or not do something 100% of the time than 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just being consistent
mm-hmm.
makes such a big difference. I think that when you mess up one time or engage in sin one time, it's so much easier to justify doing that a second time, and then mm-hmm. now a third time, and then a fourth time, and now it's a routine, and it's now a lifestyle. It's who you are, because you've made it something that is so comfortable when it should have never been. And so I think just never allowing yourself to take that first step in the first place will save you so much trouble later on. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people try to say when confronted about the ways that they're living and how they don't align with God and how they're indulging in sin time after time after time, and not wanting to do any better than that, but still claiming to be Christian. I think a lot of people say, well, God knows my heart. And I think that that's just such a faulty thing to say. I think that it's such a bad representation of what being a Christian truly means. And to be real in this, if God knows your heart, then he would know that you're only choosing him when it's convenient.
Ooh.
And, mic drop. No, and as I was reading in Luke today, I read something about how we need to not only choose the crown, but also choose the cross. We can't just choose God when it's convenient. We need to choose all the good things that come with following God, but also we need to choose the sacrifice. Yeah. And we need to choose the days that it might be hard. But so we've talked a lot about what sin looks like and how to step away from sin. And in this, we just want to offer some solutions that have helped us in doing so in stepping away from sin and might be helpful to someone else. And the first one that I want to discuss is having spiritual discipline. I think that the more time that you spend with God, the less time that there is for sin. I mean, if you do the math, that's just how it works. I think another big one is making sure to keep the door closed. I think that if you don't even put yourself in the position to sin, whether that be the environment that you choose to place yourself in or the experiences,
like
the experiences that you indulge in, I think that it's so much easier to not walk into sin if you leave that door closed. If you have the door open, how much more likely are you to step through that door?
Good point.
And then the last one that I just want to touch on is fellowship. I think this is so big and has made such a big difference, at least in my life, just having community around me and people that can help hold me accountable and help encourage me in my walk with God, and even relate to me in times of both sorrow and joy and everything that comes with that. I think that it's just super important. And God isn't the only one that you can confess to. Confessing to other Christians and having this fellowship just helps.
It helps. It sounds embarrassing, but it helps.
Yeah, it makes such a big difference, because if you're willing to admit something that you've done wrong to someone else, I think you're much less likely to put yourself in that same position. And it might give you a deeper sense of guilt, which ultimately might be what you need to help you step away from that and be held accountable.
Yeah, and I feel like both of us have had our, like, I feel like that's been pretty big. You know, it seems like such a simple and skippable step. Like, I don't need to go and share with everybody what I've done and what I'm going through and yada yada. Well, usually those kinds of conversations produce fruit, and that person's going to probably confide in you, and you're going to have this great, beautiful conversation, because that's usually how it goes. But I don't want to say anything, but just I highly recommend it. But I think, just kind of back to the basics on getting close to God, like Kelsey said, and being close to him and his spirit, and ways to do that are through prayer. Another thing that looks skippable and mundane and just, it can get repetitive, but I mean, just making the time to sit in front of God with a quiet mind and listening ears. Like, it sounds very kindergarten, but I mean, he's a father. He wants to help father you and be your dad and be a part of your life. And he knows what's going on, but he'd rather you, like, kind of like when your parent watches you on Life 360, they know where you went, but they don't want to ask, you know, they'd rather you come up and tell them, you know? So I think prayer is amazing and will help show you a lot more about yourself and what truly matters to you than you think you know. And verbally doing it, also a lot more effective than just doing it in your head, I've learned myself. And praying with other people. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And it's great to hear how other people talk to the Lord our Father. And by going to church weekly, you'll be able to create fellowship with other people who do have, I mean, yeah, you're not gonna have 100% everything in common. They're not gonna be like buddies from college, because I mean, it's just not, that's not what we're here for. We're here serving God. So they're obviously gonna have different priorities, but you're gonna find that they're rooted in God. And those are people you probably need to be around and pray with. But it definitely, like, cause I go to YA. It's a young adults thing here in Tulsa. And if anybody who's listening wants to go, I go on Tuesday nights at 7, wave at me. It'll be awesome.
But say you didn't get invited.
Yeah, come. I'm inviting you. And great service. It has a bunch of people from ages 18 to 30. Wonderful. So that's how I found my fellowship in community here recently. And prioritizing your faith, just basically, that's high priority. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but putting your faith above everything else, above, oh, we're going out this weekend, but I don't want to be too hungover on Sunday because I'm going to church. No, just don't go out. Make going to church the priority. And that became something that really showed me, wow, my priorities might be a little messed up if this is why I'm not going to church. Yeah. So there's stuff like that. Like, I guarantee you, there's things in your schedule you probably could drop and add a little bit more God into.
Yeah, and just going back to fellowship and how impactful it is, I think that it also just allows for friendships to be deepened in ways that you didn't,
quite literally our friendship. So Kelsey and I met each other in middle school, never really hung out. Like, we ran with the same gals, but just weren't like friends, you know. And then college came around, we had our own separate lives, and then we needed an extra roommate junior year, going into senior year. I'm no longer there anymore, but this was the situation at the time. We needed a roommate, and I had just gotten really into my faith, and I did not just want some random Sally from Kappa Alpha, whoever knows. And so I was like digging through Instagram, and I was like, huh, there's Kelsey. I haven't seen her in a while. Oh, I forgot she even goes OU, yada, yada, yada. And then so I just like messaged her and was like, hey, by the way, I don't know what your living situation is next year, but we have an extra room if you're interested. And what had drawn me to Kelsey, I didn't even point that out, was I had noticed she had gotten into her faith. Like, I had never been a part of the story or knew what was going on or what her situation was, but I had noticed she had posted a lot about just scriptures here and there or just whatever she was doing and going to church with friends. So I was like, well, I'm going to reach out. And we did. And then, well, we were going to live together and then situation happened and we don't. But I mean, I
We're
feel
still
like,
here.
yeah,
We're
we're
still
still here.
here.
We're still hanging out. And we would go to church at the end of the semester and go volunteer and do, we've been to YA and done some other volunteering stuff together. But I mean, it was just a fruitful or a friendship I would have never imagined blossoming if it wasn't for God being like, you know what? Try this. Like, just literally putting the idea in my head, like the nudge. It's like the Facebook poke. Like,
It's no, really, it's amazing to look back and just see how different life was and how you never would have thought that you'd be in the position that you are today. I can speak to that not only like with my own walk with God and me being a Christian now, but also just like I said, the amount of community that that's brought me and fellowship, and it makes such a big difference. Like when I tell y'all, I had not spoken a word to Avery in
like,
5+ years, and
middle school, I'm
then
talking like 8th grade.
and God brought us back together in the right timing. And although, like she said, we aren't around each other 24/7 anymore, we still have this friendship that is rooted in Christ, and it's just one of the most beautiful things ever.
So if you are still listening at this point, you have heard us ramble on and on about sin and stepping away from that, what that looks like, ways to do it, and you might be asking yourself, why should I even choose to do this? Why does this matter? And I think that a good answer to that is that there's just so much importance in living righteously. I think that when we step away from sin, we also step towards God, and this allows for greater peace in our life. It allows us to glorify our Creator and gives us more joy and a deeper sense of purpose. The list goes on and on. All that to say that when we step away from sin and simultaneously step towards God, there is so much reward in that. I think that there's also long-term benefits. In stepping away from sin, it builds a stronger spiritual foundation. And when we have this foundation to lean back on, we're able to better tackle the hard situations and conversations that life throws at us. And then my last point is that in stepping away from sin, we're able to learn from ourselves and better ourselves. I think that this is because it leads to this stage of acceptance or repentance. And in this, we're given so much grace by God. And it allows us to just really rely on His strength, which ultimately leads to growth. And I just want to highlight the fact that sin is this weight on us that holds us back. And so when we just give that up and let go and let God, there is just so much growth that follows that. Yeah, that's kind of like the points. That's mainly what I've written down. Our eyes are just so greatly opened to His greatness. Like, it's crazy to think that before I had met God and come real close to Him, that I just overlooked all this stuff. A story that comes to mind is the one where Jesus met with the rich young ruler and told him to drop all your things and follow me. And the ruler was just so attached to his stuff, he didn't, and just was like, no, you're crazy. I'm going to keep living the way I'm living. I'm doing just fine. And we'll see how that goes. Well, obviously, that guy's probably pretty ticked right now about at himself. But I mean, God knows the greater plan. And he had a greater plan for that man, but that man denied it. He was like, I'm good. And it's up to us to say yes, to hear God call for us and say yes. I mean, he wants it to be vice versa and us call out to him. But there are very much times when God has called out to me whenever I was a non-believer and I just chose to ignore it until it came down to the point where I was like, wow. I wish I listened. I need you a lot more than I thought I did. And that kind of reminds me of the story of the ungrateful son. And that kind of is what makes me want to show my faith so much, is because this guy had two sons. I don't know what book this is in, but one of them stayed and he worked the family farm, and the other one went off and got all this money somehow, one way or another, or he spent all the money that he was given. I don't quite remember. But anyways, dad dies and he comes back and he's like, okay, where's my inheritance? And he's like, or either the dad is dying or the mom tells them this, but they're like, no, there's nothing for you, dude. You weren't here this whole time. You weren't grateful for us for what we did for you. And you just totally ran off and did what you wanted and didn't think about us not once. So that, I mean, always, it does, might not sound relevant, but that's totally us. We are the son in the story. And it's up to us to kind of realize how greatly we're provided for, and to one, acknowledge it and praise Him for it, but two, to spread it and to spread His loves into the cracks and crevices of the earth where it's not, where it's dark. And that in your head might go straight to like the third world countries who are going through war times, but that could literally be your neighbor right next door who has gone through some stuff in their life and just totally offright God of not being king of all, you know? So
Yeah, you can't always see sin
Yeah,
or struggle on the surface.
exactly. So you have to kind of listen to God's guidance on where he's leading you, because he will leave the 99 every single time to find the one who's missing, whether that's you or that's someone else in your life. And he uses you to reel them back in and show them whatever one it is. You have to be willing to be workable. You have to be used, like the soil in a garden. It needs to be tilled and plowed, and your heart can't be hard. It can't be made of gravel and rocks and sticks and stones. It's got to be soft and pliable. So it's up to you for however you get there and make it pliable, but I pray that you do, because there is so much greatness that is ready to be sowed in your garden.
Mm-hmm.
He's just waiting for your green light.
Yeah, I like that you, when you talk about your walk with God, you always say something along the lines of when I met God or in meeting God. And I think that this is such a good way to word it. And it just puts into perspective the fact that we can know somebody from a distance and we can hope the best for them mm-hmm. and we can wish that they do well, mm-hmm. but there's only so much impact that we can have on them without ever talking to them, without ever seeing them or hearing the words that the advice that they have to provide or the things that they want to help us in. And so I think that it just shows how important it is to have this relationship with God, and that it really is a two-way relationship, that God is always there. And if we feel distance from him, we're the ones that are distanced. He's never distant, but we have to seek him and chase that relationship as well and meet him where mm-hmm. he is.
He's a consistent God.
Yeah.
And he doesn't change.
To really feel the effects of knowing God and following God, you have to introduce yourself to God. You mm-hmm. have to meet God mm-hmm. to be able to have that impact made on you and be helped by him. He can only do so much from afar.
Yeah. Another point I'd like to make, some people will say, I mean, God will meet you where you are, which is true. You come to him as you are, but you don't stay as you are. You're meant to be changed. He can't do anything with somebody who wants to stay on this earth.
And I'm also just going to provide a little bit of scripture that speaks to why we should step away from sin, and the truth that is in that. So the first verse is 1 John 1:9 that says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all wrongdoing." Giving you a second to just take that in. Okay, and then the second scripture is James 4:7 that says, "Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you."
See, those take action. They said you got to come near and resist. So highlight those,
mm-hmm.
FYI.
Nothing's happening when nothing's happening.
Exactly.
I also really just want to emphasize the fact that striving for progress and not perfection is so important, mm-hmm. as regardless of how well we know God and how well we follow him, we're still going to be sinners and still going to fall short. And so just aiming for being better day by day and being more and more like God and a reflection of someone who's following him is really important, because we're not Jesus, so we're not going to be perfect.
We're never going to be.
No. And if you take nothing else from this, I hope that you take that stepping away from sin means choosing God's path over temptation, and this aligns our hearts with his will and allows his love and grace to transform us, which is step after step
towards and for him.